acquit me, stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee again. Hallelujah. I know you fight for me. You will acquit me, stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. For I know where my help comes from. Oh, my Father, my fighter, you're unstoppable, can't be limited, no, and your word is final. This is not the end, to you belongs the vengeance. Oh, I know you fight for me. Lord, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me, stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. Yes, oh, your mercy will never fail. You're my Father, my Father.
Hallelujah. My Father, my fighter. What a powerful song. Father, we are thankful that you are our Father and you are our fighter. And we hear you loud and clear that we are going to see your hand mighty on our behalf. For every enemy shall be exposed, routed, and removed permanently. Father, we trust you. And we proclaim your word. We say it, we sing it, and it comes from the very depths of our being because we believe you. We believe you completely. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. It's good to see you tonight for this special gathering. But I'm not going to say before I forget, but I would like to say that tomorrow is the last night of the Rosh services, Rosh Hashanah services, and we're going to conclude it with a baptism. So those that are wanting to be baptized, if you've not listed your name yet, do so. Tomorrow is the day for the baptism right after the Rosh Hashanah service. All right? And so pass the word on. Praise God. It's a good thing to start the new year baptized. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shana Tova. What do you say? Okay. You say, Umetuka. Basically, it's sweetness. Basically, it's, yeah, I'm saying the same thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, Rosh Hashanah is a new year, but it's also the Feast of Trumpets. This particular feast, I believe, is a feast that scares the devil, because he doesn't know what's going to happen. The chances are the Lord will come at this time. It was the time that he came the first time. And every year, the devil is scared. He's very scared because the word of God says there's going to be the blast of the trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen? The rapture will take place. Praise the Lord. Well, since it is a feast of trumpets, we are going to hear the blast of the shofar, because it's also the time that God declares war. And how interesting that this Rosh Hashanah, there is a war happening right this very moment. We give God praise for his faithfulness and for his word. All right, let's have the blast of the trumpet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The theme for all of the feasts this year is simple. Let God arise. Amen? Let God arise. I wondered why the Lord captioned it that way. And it dawned on me as I inquired on that, that the Lord says he will not do anything except that he first reveals his secrets to his servants, his prophets. But also that the Word of God teaches us that we need to say certain things. So for example, it tells us in his word that for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, we have to say Maranatha. Yeah? Are you with me? So if we want God to arise, we have to say it. We have to say it. And God is calling us to this. Last year, he told us, remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. And it dawned on me, considering everything about it, that those two go back to back. The Lord, remember me, and then arise and fight against my enemies. And we have a picture right in front of us right now with a great war that's happening in the Middle East. It started October the 7th last year around Rosh Hashanah. And God is going to end it. Amen? I said, the Lord God Almighty is going to end it. The devil started it. God will end it. Hallelujah. It got started by Hamas. Do you know that Hamas is in the Bible? And it's really the word for violence. And God's word says, I'm going to shut down violence. I'm going to shut down Hamas. And he's doing it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God loves all of his people. We're all created by him. But God will stand on the side of justice. Praise God. God will stand on the side of his people. And we happen to be his people. Are you his people? Then the word of God, the promise of God is that my people will never, shall not be ashamed. Amen? Shame is not part of our portion. Praise God. So we started yesterday looking at Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 1 says to us, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let it happen, let them also that hate him. Hate God. And child of God, understand that anything that comes against you as a son, as a daughter of the Most High God, to cause God to look like he's a liar, hates God. So whether it be entities, demonic forces, spiritual forces in the heavenlies, or agents that the enemy uses in the earth, whoever is acting hatefully towards God or towards you and indirectly towards God, because the word of God says that we are the apple of his eyes. And if you're going to try to poke the eyes of God, that's an act of hate, and he is going to deal with it. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord God Almighty is drawing a line. He says, let them also that hate him flee before him. And we talked about Deuteronomy 27, or 28 rather, in verse 7, how God says they're going to come one way, but they're going to flee in seven directions. In essence, God saying, I'm going to complete this work. Amen? And then we went on and we talked about the word of God saying, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Drive whom away? The enemy. Drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. The presence of God is established in our praise. The presence of God is also how God leads and directs us as his people. And so hidden in the statement, let God arise, is this statement that God in this year is going to direct you. He's going to direct your steps. Listen, he's establishing different things all through the years. And everything that he's told us, they are like bricks being laid up one after the other, one after the other. And one day, it's going to be complete. Hallelujah. See, did God do what he said he was going to do in 2000? Of course he did. Did he do what he said he's going to do in 2010? Of course he did. Did he do what he said he's going to do in 2015? Of course he did. But he's building. And as I see it, it is beginning to wrap up. Because now he's saying, not only remember me, he's also saying now, I'm going to fight for you. Hallelujah. And he's speaking it prophetically to us. The word of God says, as wax melted before the fire. And we established yesterday that the ministers of God, the children of God, the servants of God, they are like fire, just like the God who created them. Psalm 104 and verse 4 makes this striking statement. Psalm 104 and verse 4. He says, who maketh his angels spirits. And then he says, his ministers or his servants a flaming fire. What does wax do in the presence of fire? It melts. So one thing that we can be certain of is that we're going to be on fire for God. Everyone who wants to be on fire for God will be fired up. Hallelujah. Because God is not going to accept lukewarmness. He spits out lukewarm people. That means, therefore, child of God, you must not be lukewarm. You must not be lukewarm. This is not the time to be lukewarm. This is the time to be fired up. How do you get fired up? By allowing the word of God to fire you up. Jeremiah says, the word of God is like fire in my bones. Fire in my bones. I can't shut myself up. Why? Because I'm going to proclaim the word of God. Hallelujah. There are things God is asking me to do this new year that is going to pull a lot from me. And if I'm going to be able to accomplish them, I need to be on fire. I have to be on fire. I cannot afford not to be on fire for God. But the thing about the fire of God is that it's not like natural fire that consumes and things turn to ashes. The fire of God in your life is like that burning bush. That is not consumed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's fire. But it's not burning stuff to destroy them, but that fire will melt everything Hallelujah. That is not of God. That fire can only be approached without you having the insulation of your sandals. He says, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. For us to be on fire, we've got to recognize that we are in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of God. The Word of God says, God is a spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That becomes very real because then my presence, your presence, because we are in God, causes us to be agents that bring about freedom to men and women. To have that freedom, we've got to go against an enemy. Hallelujah. There is a battle that has to be won. And we established yesterday that the key factor for this fire of God to be established in us is, first of all, that we have to be people that operate in the spirit of obedience. Do you remember that? We have to be obedient people. Now, obedience is not easy. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth for one solitary purpose, to go to that cross, to die on that cross as our substitution, as our atonement. True? But there he was in the garden, and what was he saying? Father, if it is at all possible, to take this cup from me. Is there another way to do this? But not my will, but your will. Three times. And he was sweating blood. That means he was stressed. As much as he loved me and as much as he loved you, he was still stressed because he didn't want to die. But he chose to die as an act of obedience to the instruction and the demand of God. That means, child of God, the act of obedience is not easy, and God knows it. The Lord Jesus Christ himself knows it. That sometimes you know what you want to do, but it's not that easy. When push turns to shove, it's not that easy. But this becomes the truth then. We have to do our duty. Do you know that duty is very important to God? In fact, when the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about the man who had a servant, and the servant went out to the field, and was talking about faith. Went out to the field, worked, and came back. He said the master did not say, okay, go sit down and rest. But rather told him, go take care of my meal and bring it to me. And the Lord says, he had to do his duty. It didn't sound fair. But the Word of God says, faith becomes my servant, his duty. Amen? But so is everything else. If you don't understand that you have an assignment and that you are obligated to fulfill your duty, you will not be a stable believer. You will not. You will not continue. You will not push through. Duty. Sometimes I'm going through all kinds of challenges myself. I should be bawling and crying and pulling my hair out. But you don't know about it because I have a duty. I have a duty, and that duty is not coming here to dump on you. That duty is to come here and speak of the goodness of God, recognizing that, yes, I'm going through a process right now, but that process shall be outlasted by the faithfulness of God operational in my life, and I'll be on top and not beneath, because the promise of God is that being born again from above causes me to be above. So my present situation is not going to determine my end. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If I come here and I dump on you about this and about that, and I've gone past it, and you don't even know about it, you're still carrying the problem. Why should I be here to become a problem? To whom and why? Who's responsible? God is responsible. Ultimately for me to help me. He's my helper. He's my peace. And he blesses those that work in partnership with him. And so God can use you to be a partner that comes alongside and says, Pastor, I'm going to help you with this. Let's push this thing together. But so many people don't recognize that God gives them an opportunity if they listen to God, and God will use them mightily because they are committed to him. Hallelujah. God is declaring a word to us, and that word is very specific. I am going to fight for you. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to remember you. In Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9, we read these words. Watch this. Numbers 10, 9. It says, and if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall do what? Blow an alarm with the what? Trumpets. That's the shofar. He said, if war comes into your land, comes into your territory, and you've been oppressed, you've been challenged, he says, blow the shofar. And when you blow it, ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God. We have blown the shofar today. And as we blew it, the word of God says, God will remember us. It is an alarm that is going off. Hallelujah. And it's not like natural security people, you know, that are in their station way over there, and the alarm comes on and they call your phone to find out, is there a problem? And then they come, and the guy who comes doesn't have a gun. he just has a car with flashing lights, as if that's going to solve any problem. Well, God is not like that. When the alarm blows, he shows up because he's there. And he's waiting for you to press him. He's waiting for me to push that button and say, God, I need help. He says, I'm going to remember you, and ye shall be saved from who? Your enemies. Why? Because God rises up. God remembering me is God rising. God arising. He says, let me arise. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God remembers you, remembers me. In Psalm 106 and verse 4, he tells us again that he remembers us. He says, remember me, O Lord. With what? With the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Remember me and visit me. But this is also true, that when the Lord visits us, that we recognize it. Israel was visited by the Lord, but they did not recognize the one that came to save them. And so many times God comes to save us, and we do not recognize it. We cry for help, God sends help, and we don't recognize it. My prayer for every one of us is that we'll recognize the salvation of the Lord. We'll recognize the help that God is sending. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let's go to Psalm 68. And let's just explore that for a quick moment. Psalm 68, starting from verse 1. Or rather, Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Psalm 35, starting from verse 1. It says here, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me. Plead my cause. Rise with me. We're going to be doing a lot of sitting and standing. Say with me, Father, plead my cause. Plead my cause. You know what is facing me. You know what is happening to me right now. You know the things that are coming ahead of me. You know the things that have happened in the past. I cry out to you now. Plead my cause. Right everything in my life. Fight for me, Father, against every enemy. Every enemy. Bar none. Deal with them on my behalf. I trust in you. Plead my cause, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. He says, take hold of shield and buckler. Generally, the Word of God tells us that we should do that. But this time, the man is crying out to God, says, this is beyond me. I need you to take shield and buckler and stand up. In other words, rise up for mine help. Why is this important? You know, if you have a Goliath, and you have a shield, one blow from Goliath's sword will knock the shield off of your hand, cut you up. You need somebody bigger than Goliath to fight for you. Hallelujah. We need someone bigger than us and bigger than all of our enemies put together to fight for us. Do you recognize that? That you need help? That we as his people need help? Yeah, there's some battles that are beyond us. If the battle is between me and a cockroach, I can handle that. I'll just raise my foot, cockroach dead. Hallelujah. But if it's Hulk Hogan, that's a different story. The guy can take a telephone book and rip it up. You give me 10 sheets, I'll be fighting with it. But the guy takes the whole telephone book and, yeah. You want me to go and fight him? I don't think so. I need something that is capable of handling him. Are we in the same page? Well, that's what the man of God is crying out. He says, take hold of shield. Your faith, your knowing, the shield that quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy, and the buckler, which is smaller and it is for close combat. He says, take hold of those and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. You know, the nation of Israel has three particular defensive weapons. And those three deal with different missiles that come their way. The Iron Dome deals with stuff that happens within 300 plus kilometers. And the arrow, which is one of their weapons, can deal with stuff 2,400 kilometers away, even going out into space. Are you with me? There are different battles and different things that happen, and you need different kinds of equipment to handle them. But in God, we have all that we need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He knows what is necessary for whatever. And he can fight for us. In fact, he says, sit down. Be still. The battle is the Lord's. I'm expecting God to fight so many battles for me in 2025. Amen? In 2025, expect God to fight many battles for you. Some are battles that you don't know are coming, and he deals with it way out there. But some he will allow to come close enough so that you see that he is with you. If God solves all of your problems, you don't know what he's been doing for you. So he allows some things to come close so that you understand that you're in a battle, and that in that battle, you need to be wise. In that battle, you need to give God his rightful place for your life. That's why he allows it. So his word to us is, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear or handle, but will provide a way of escape so you can handle it. Amen? There are battles, but God is going to win every single one of them for us. Hallelujah. We must look unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He says, there are these enemies that are persecuting me. Take spare. Haul it out there. Block their way. And God, I know there are things that I got to say, but I want you to say. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Do you see that there is a battle that God calls us to take care of, and he says to you, you got to say this. But God is saying, now, as this prayer is going forth before the Lord, it is this prayer. I know I can say stuff, but this time I need you to say stuff for me. I need you to assure me that it's going to be okay. I need you to speak to me. Why is this so crucial for us? Because we are stepping into danger. You thought that we have had dangerous times? No. You've not seen anything yet. If I start talking to you right now about the things that the Lord has been showing to me and the things that I get to see or read, none of us will be sitting down here. We'll be crying out to God, come, like yesterday, come already. And there are going to be so many that are going to be crying out. But the fact is, you need to have the heart of God. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that with all the challenges that face the world, that men did not change. Circumstances don't change you. You make the decision to change yourself. And you got to change before you face the battle. Is somebody listening? You know, so sometimes, I don't know if you appreciate what you hear from this place. Because if many of us appreciate it, we will line up and be ready. Don't be one of the foolish virgins that had oil but did not have enough to last. The greatest battle that you and I will face is a battle against ourselves. He says, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Whoever and whatever, they're seeking after my soul to cause me to fail. Let them be ashamed. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Is that a true statement, that there are people that sit down to devise your hurt? Absolutely. If you only knew. If you only knew. Well, God knows who it is that is planning, setting up snares and traps. God says, I'll take care of them. Why? The man is crying out for that. That's an act of humility. God, turn them back. Bring them to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. And let the angel of the Lord chase them. Hallelujah. Let the angel of the Lord do what? Chase them. Put them to run as they scattered in seven directions. But while they're running, chase them. Hallelujah. Chase them. Chase them. Chase them. Chase them. Let them fall all over themselves. Chase them. Hallelujah. He says, while you're chasing them, do something else. Let their way be dark and slippery. And let the angel of the Lord do what? Persecute them. They came trying to persecute me. Persecute them. Hallelujah. Let them run into the dark. Let them stumble. Let them slide, slip, and fall. Chase them. See, Pastor, is that what, you know, shouldn't we love them? Yeah, that's the best thing you can do for them. Let God chase them so that they cry out for mercy. Hallelujah. Let God break them down. It's not about killing them. It's about putting pressure on them so that they cry out. Help! Have mercy! Praise God. Why should the angel of the Lord persecute them? For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. These are demonic forces seeking for your demise. If you don't love you, love yourself, then you won't pray that kind of prayer. If you love yourself, and you don't want your soul lost, then you have to pray, God, arise, deal with these enemies. They are stifling my life. They are causing things not to happen for me. They are stealing my stuff. They are oppressing me, God, and causing your word to be a lie in my sight. Father, I know you're not a liar, and whoever and whatever it is that's messing with my life, deal with it. Hallelujah. Daniel was praying, trying to seek an answer from God. And here comes this principality called the Prince of Persia, blocking it, wrestling with the angel Gabriel, who was a messenger angel. For 21 days, God answered the man day one, right away, dispatched the answer to him. And an angel was, a demonic principality was withholding and standing against an angel. If the Prince of Persia can stand against a whole angel, you think you can handle that? In your own might and your own power? You need reinforcement. Every one of us, we need supernatural reinforcement. Praise the Lord. We need our Father to be our fighter. You know, the Word of God says, the Father says to the Lord Jesus Christ, sit down here at my right hand until I make all of your enemies your footstool. Even the Father says to the Lord Jesus Christ, sit, I'm going to finish this. I need God to finish some stuff for me. Do you? Glory and Peace needs God to finish some stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The enemy comes against you through his confessions, through his words. And those words are spoken through people. And sometimes you and I might even give license. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going through the crisis of his life, said, I'm not going to say much. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. He says, the enemy is coming, but he's not gotten anything inside of me to attach to. And the one thing he was going to do is keep his mouth shut. Keep his mouth shut from what? Saying the wrong things. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us examples of how we must live our lives. When you get pressured, keep your mouth shut until you have the right to say the right thing from the depths of your being. And how do you come to that place where you get the right to speak? By first of all, singing songs of praise. It's called the sacrifice of praise. Sing unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. When you're going through stuff, don't start just talking, because you're going to talk the wrong thing. You're going to say the wrong things. And then those things that you say, the enemy will use to accuse you. Now you don't have much to do but to fight against your own barricades you created, because you did not learn how to sing unto God, praise God. God inhabits in your praise, and as he inhabits your praise, he begins to speak and prophesy through you. Amen. You know, the devil cannot do anything in the earth, just like God cannot do anything in the earth without his servants. That's why he put it that way. So the devil has to speak through people. So, remember, Peter just said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And then starts talking to them about how he was going to die, and the devil, Peter comes and starts rebuking Jesus. Is that in the Bible? And Jesus says, get behind me, what? Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You know, sometimes how the enemy brings you to a place of limitation is by bringing people that will speak the right kind of thing so that you can agree with them because you think they love you. That's why they said whatever it is that they're saying, so that having said it, you have some support. No. You need to hear the word of God. Amen? This is not the time for itchy earing. I need to hear what God is saying, not your nice words. But I'm trying to protect you. No. There's some protection I don't need. If it's a protection that's going to cause me to be disobedient to the directives of God, I don't need that kind of protection. I need a kind of protection which is founded in the Word of God, God speaking it over me, and because I am subject and obedient to that Word, He can now fight for me. That's what we need. That's what we need in our families. That's what we need in our own individual lives. That's what we need as a church. That's what we need for our businesses. We need to be aligned to the directives of God, because the enemy is always setting up a snare, a net, to trap you. And the more you struggle when you are caught in a net, the more you get tangled up. Is that not true? Stop. He says, let destruction come upon him at unawares. That's an interesting statement, because at is not necessary there. So if art is there, it is there for a reason. What reason? God, the man of God praying, is declaring that there is a place called unawares. The place called unawares. Unawares means when the enemy is feeling comfortable, thinking that he's got you, bang. We've got him. We've cornered him, bang. Where did that come from? You just came to the place called unawares. Rise with me and declare with me. Father, bring every enemy to the place called unawares, and let them be caught in their own net at the place called unawares. Amen. Praise God. Let destruction come upon him at unawares. It's making unawares a place. And let his net that he had hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. In essence, he's saying, I'm praying. I'm not trying to devise any weapons against my enemy. Let him be destroyed by his own weapon. Let him be destroyed by his own snares. Let whatever it is that he was planning for me happen for him. So the Lord says, Everyone who blesses Israel gets blessed. You curse Israel, you get cursed. So you choose whether you want the blessing or you want the curse. So I say to every enemy, choose. You want to bless me? Praise the Lord, I receive it. But if you want to end up in the place of unawares because you are trying to get me to the place called unawares, you'll be caught in the place called unawares with your own weapons. Hallelujah. He says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the salvation that God has given to me. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that the song that we sang last? Hallelujah. There's an enemy that's too strong for me. Fight for me. Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. The poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. What is that? That is an enemy. He's got his whole own collection, but it is yours that he wants to add to his. The guy is poor, and you go take his stuff. The man declaring this word had an experience like that. He'd gone and taken another man's wife. Do you remember that story? And the prophet Nathan comes and tells David this story. So there's this guy, he had all these animals. He had all this sheep, oxen, everything. He had everything. But he saw another man who had just one. And he went and grabbed it and took it from him. And David says, who on earth will do such a thing? Who is that man? I'm going to deal with him right now. And the prophet Nathan says, thou art the man. Remember the statement I made earlier? You can be your worst enemy. So rise with me again and say these words. Lord, deliver me from myself. Deliver me from myself. Say it again. Deliver me from myself. Help me to make the right decisions every day of my life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, that's important. You may be seated. Two verses up, I believe, the statement, verse 8. He says, let destruction come upon him out on our ways, and let his net that he had hid catch what? Catch himself. See that? All it needs to say is catch him. But when it says catch himself, it's about the self. So when I say pray, deliver me from myself. You understand? Because it's yourself that does a lot of stuff. And that self needs to be arrested to align with the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to be done in a moment. He says in verse 11, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Same things about me. And I wondered, who are they talking about? Oh, you did. Excuse me, who are you guys talking about? I don't recognize that person. What do you mean? Yeah, that's what people do. He says, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. My prayer what? Returned unto my own bosom. My prayer returned unto my own bosom. Oh, what does that mean? Every word that you speak comes back to you. Every prayer that you pray comes back to you. When you pray for healing for other people, guess what comes back to you? Healing. When you pray for favor for other people, guess what comes back to you? Favor. Everything you pray, that's why you and I must pray one for the other. While you're praying for somebody, don't think that prayer is not for you also. It is for you. So embrace it and be thankful. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we'll stop there tonight. And tomorrow we're going to continue proclaiming the word of God. We're going to spend much time praying, not just confessing. I'm going to engage you in praying. Praying for yourself. Praying for your family. Praying for the church of God. Praying for the saints of God. That every one of us rise to our rightful place in Him and see the fulfillment of God's will in all of our lives. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rise with me. I'm going to ask for that last song, My Father, My Fighter. And as we worship with it, let it come from the depths of our being, from your heart. Let your words and the singing come together. My dad used to say, two hands wash better than one. Now, embrace and let this song that was birthed in this house. That's not a song that came from somewhere else. It didn't come from Australia or from the United States or from Africa or anywhere else. It came from right here, this church. God, my Father, my Fighter. You know, the thing about this particular song, I was sitting here and the Lord spoke to me. He said, ask Lindsay to sing the song, My Father, My Fighter. I didn't know that the song had been written. And she came up, and the first time that song was ever sung. Am I right? God is in this house. Amen? So let's listen to that song together. Those of you at home, I don't want you to sit. If you're listening on Facebook, YouTube, Zoom, Reddit, rumble, whatever. I want you to rise and make this song, your prayer, your declaration right now. Praise God.
Yes, Lord. Oh, you're a fighter, Lord. Oh, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee again. Hallelujah. I know you fight for me. You will acquit me. Stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. For I know where my help comes from. Oh, my Father, my fighter, hey, you're unstoppable, can't be limited, no, and your word is final. Acquit me, stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. Yes, for your mercy will never fail. You're my Father, my Father.
Father, fight for us. Your word says the battle is yours. We agree. Arise, O God. Let every enemy be scattered. Father, strike at the heart of the enemy. Decapitate every structure that the enemy has. And cause every knee to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, fight for us. Fight for us in the realm of the spirit. Fight for us in the realm of the soul. Fight for us, O God, physically, not bodies. Fight for us in cases, court cases. Fight for us challenging challenges, O God, of competition from businesses or whatever else. Wherever the enemy is striving with us, Father, shut the enemy down. And so by the authority of your word, we declare this very moment, Satan, you and your cohorts are rebuked by the Lord. Judgment has come upon you, you forces of darkness, and you must bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We take spoil. We take spoil. We take spoil. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are greatly enriched by the goodness of the Lord, and we receive all that the Father has blessed us with. In Jesus' mighty name. So it is done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're the God who buried Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Bury every enemy. That we might say, the enemies that we see today, we shall see no more. In the mighty name of Jesus. It is decreed so, and it's accomplished so, by the authority of the word and in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes, and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our special offerings. This is a time that God says we should not come to Him empty-handed. Release that offering unto the Lord, and may God multiply our seed sown. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm going to ask Elder Andre to pray a closing prayer. I'm not going to tell you what to pray. Just pray by the leading of the Spirit.
Father God.
Turn on this mic, please.
Father God. Father God, we just thank you, Almighty God, that you do fight for us. And when you fight for us, we win.
Yes.
We just thank you, Mighty God, for the victory. And we give you honor and praise in every bit of spoil that comes our way. For it's by you that we win.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we'll see you tomorrow night at 6:30 promptly as we have our last Rosh Hashanah service. And then on the 11th, we will start with Yom Kippur for 2 days. But tomorrow evening or tomorrow night, after the main service such as this, we will be having a time of baptism at the end, and come and be supportive of those that are going to be part of the team. Now let me just say a quick hello to those that are on Zoom.